are indeed, as I mentioned last week, you know, Monday evening, are quite complex and difficult. There are many psychological factors that are involved, the laws of family purity, and many of those halachas that surface with regard to the issues, with regard to Taras HaMishpacha, and the complexity could be found in the Harchakos, the laws with regard to the separation that is required between a husband and a wife during this period of time. Just to give a brief overview of the times that we are talking about, you will again remember that a woman becomes an Ida, right? A woman's halachic period and the prohibitions that are associated with it begin with an issue of dam, a matter of seeing blood. If it's blood from a makkah, from a wound, an infection, it's not that, it will not asa her, it will not prohibit her. However, if you don't know where it's coming from, why it is, then it's prohibitive unless you could find a reason why it is coming. In other words, its asur is prohibited until you can find the reason why it's not. You know, in American law, you're innocent until proven guilty. In this situation, it's tamei until you can prove why it's tahor. So much so, the law is, with regard to this, as we mentioned, that even a zkena, a woman, who has already passed the time that already her period is flowing, she has lost her period already. Nevertheless, such a woman, if she would see dam, if she would see blood, and we would not be able to identify the source of it, we would say that she's prohibited. The halacha with regard to the prohibitions begin from the time she sees. If she sees it, that it's an issue from her body, and she has feeling to the fact that it's coming out, or that there's a discharge, then it's also prohibited, kitipas dam kechardol, even the amount of a mustard seed. Smallest measure of blood would prohibit her. However, if she doesn't feel any issue, she doesn't feel anything that comes forth, then the halacha of the law says that if she finds it on her underwear, on undergarments, then the halacha is that she has to find a gris. It has to be the size of a United States penny. And this United States penny, at least that's the benchmark by which you can identify the amount of blood that has to be seen, has to be collected in one place. In other words, a little dot here and a dot there and a dot there will not make her also, will not prohibit her, will not make her tame until it's collected and attached in one area. This halacha that prohibits her, if she sees dam, we also learned there are many different colors, many different discharges that come forth. Some of them prohibit the woman, and some of them don't. Some colors, browns, black sometimes, reds, various shades related to that are problematic. If you have a green, a yellow, pale yellow, orange, then you don't have to worry. Then those colors generally are colors that are good. What is critical to know, and as you should have a little familiarity with, that there is a difference with regard to what time it is in the count in terms of the severity of the color. In other words, the same color could be brought to a Rav, and depending on where she is holding in her Shiva Nikim, in her seven clean days, if she's holding in the first day, she's holding in a Hefsik Tara. I just got a Shiloh today, a Hefsik Tara. I was ready, I got a Shiloh today, I thought it was already the seventh day or the sixth day already, that was the impression I was left with. Because according to the way the husband told me, I had the feeling that she was ready to go to Mikveh tonight. So I looked at the Mara, and I was all excited to tell the woman, I have good news to tell you. It's okay. But as I've learned from the rabbinate, I held my fire. What does that mean? I know already that there are people that sit on a Mara. A mara is basically, the definition of mara is something that's colored, right? If it has a stain, a mara is a stain, a color. So sometimes they sit on it. What does it mean they sit on it? The woman can have a mara 5 days ago, 6 days ago, and they bring it the last day. So I said, when is your wife expecting to go? Well, if it's good tonight, and when did this mara come from? Well, you always ask that, Rabbi. I said, yes. As if to say, and you never learn when to tell me. So he said, it's a hefsek tara. It's what you taught that time, you know, the hefsek tara. I said, yes. I said, it's not good. Wasn't good for hefsek tara. It did not permit the color. Was not good to create that tara, that transition from tumah to tara. So I told him it's not good. But had it been a mara, had it been a color, that same color, later on in the count, toward the end of the count, I would have had no difficulty being matir.
You mean I start 17 new days?
No, because this, I would imagine this bedika was a hefsek tara.
That's the first
step. So one, right? So I would imagine that since she knew it was problematic, she must have made another bedik, another check the next night.
Just lost the night.
And so she lost one day. But the truth is, David, I didn't want to get into it. I just didn't want to get into it.
So you just said it was not good.
I would just say, you know what I mean? I would just say, this is not a good mara, and I would just let it at that. But, you know, to anticipate, there are many, many interesting things. I forget all the years of experience with this that has led, in terms of questioning things, into the most bizarre things that you could have imagined. Nevertheless, the halacha is that when a woman has a discharge, she is also, she's prohibited, she goes into the Yemei Tumah, she counts, she has to wait how many days minimally?
Five.
If, right, so she counts, let's say she sees today at 8 o'clock, so there that counts, right, is one. Shki is 10 after 8, 11 after 8, so right, she's got one already, right? So today is what? Thursday. So she's got Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday before Shki, before sunset, she can make a hefsek tara. She's got 2 minutes after Shkia at most. Don't ask me 2 minutes and 30 seconds. She's got 2 minutes after Shkia. 2 minutes after, that's her leeway. Shouldn't leave it that long either. Don't leave it to the last fraction of a minute. She's got basically until Shkia, until sunset, to make the Hefsek Tara. After she makes the Hefsek Tara, the word Hefsek Tara means the interruption between the days of Tumah, when she's not, right, the Tameh, which is created by the discharge, by the blood, and Tara, which means the days of purity, are then set into motion when she comes out with the clean bedika, when this check comes out clean. And remember I told you that many times a woman makes a bedika, two bedikas the first day, the first time, let's say like on that late afternoon, she makes a hefsek Tara and a moch tochel. Moch tochel means, you know, something that she puts in, a tampon or something else that she permits herself and waits for about 40 minutes. And then it comes out, and if it's clean, then she knows with certainty that she has had no more discharge and that the blood has already totally, completely subsided and stopped.
Does that have to start before sunset as well?
No, she puts it in before. I think she puts it in before, and it goes through the whole, during the whole Bein Hashmashos, the whole twilight it goes through.
It's not as if there's no real practical difference between Yemei Tumah and Yemei Tara, as opposed to when we had the mishnah with the Kibbutz Mikdash, and that's where there was more of a difference between the two. There's no practical difference now in terms of our status and what can be done.
No, there's nothing. There's no difference. Okay? Now, then she counts what? For the next 7 days, morning and afternoon. She makes two bedikas, one in the morning, one afternoon. For the rest of the Shiva Nikim, rest of the 7 days. If she doesn't have any complications, if she doesn't have a stain that is found in any of these bedikas, bedika means what? A check. She checks an internal examination. Well, very little bit in. Women know how to do this. They have a mesora, transmission from generations. And it comes out without any complications in Shilas, then it's perfectly fine. And the halacha would then permit her after 7 days. So if, let's say it came out, let's say, so it was Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, right, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, before Shkia, she made the Hefsek Tara. Then she can start when? Counting 7 days, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday is the seventh day. She goes to mikvah Monday night. On Monday night, she is permitted to her husband, and that's all there is to it. If there are no problems, that's all there is to it. Very simple, straightforward. Five and seven. Rarely is she able to do it in five, and at certain times, it's even a problem. You understand, even the Shivanikiyam, that it should go. Some women have greater difficulty, some have less difficulty. Some people have longer cycles, some women have shorter cycles. It's very, very interesting. I remember when I went to Rabbi Feinstein, we had a particular woman in yeshiva who, for the first 4 years of marriage, was not able to have children. And you could tell the Mara. It was obvious after a few months, because when we brought the shaylos to Reb Moshe from the yeshiva, he would look at the Mara and he would say, "Das ist von der Frau." He would say, "This is from that particular woman." He was able to tell just from the color who it was from. And then the question came up, it's 4 years, they didn't have children. And the question came up, should she take medication? Because what happened was she started in the sixth day of her Shiva Nikim, she started there again to stain. Like she started to ovulate again, she started to stain again, she had to start all over again. So Moshe says, Zot niton. You shouldn't start up with medications. He says, at least for 5 years, I don't want to hear from it. The Eibishter will help it. He used to say, he was very much against using external means only when it was really necessary. And as it was, kachava, yeah. The Eibishter geholfen, she became pregnant. She has 12 children today. She has 12 children. She had one miscarriage and 12 children. She had 13 pregnancies. Every year after that, she became pregnant. Every year after that, she became pregnant. There wasn't the year after that that she became pregnant. Worked out. Many times, Reb Moshe would say, you know, the body, you know, has to adjust itself. It regulates itself. You know, he said, maybe it's Bashert. It shouldn't be right away at the beginning. You know, people get nervous and upset. He was very, very pragmatic, and very, very much. Let's not talk about it until 5 years. I don't want to hear anything. Yes?
I thought I'd understood last time that if the Hasatora is done prior to sunset, that because it is a part of that day, that day may be counted.
No. That day that the Hefsek Tara is done, that day cannot be counted.
Okay.
It only permits that the next day sets it into motion.
Okay.
That's correct. Right? So you have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, make the Hefsek Tara toward evening, and then what is counted that day is that when she sees that day, the first time she sees, no matter what time during the day she sees, that day could be counted as number one. But the day of the Hefsek Tara is not counted as one of the Shiva Nikim, one of the Sanhedrin days. Okay? Okay. Now, what I would like to talk to you and focus on, very practical, because a lot of this information that I'm sharing with you is very little information that you have direct involvement with. The only thing it involves you with is that your wife just tells you. She says to you, you know, I'm an either, and that's it. And then she tells you, somewhere down the pike, and I'm going to mikvah. That's the information that you have. You have when she's author, and you have when she's mother. Right? But there is one area that we do have involvement in, that we are direct participant, and that is called the harchonos. The issue that I started touching upon a few days ago, those areas that we ourselves have to be careful in terms of our engagement, involvement with our wives in a physical sense. During the Yemei Tara, during the days when she's counting Shiva Nikiyam, and of course, the first 5 days as well. And let me run through a number of the halachas. They're very, very beautiful, very, very involved. And some of the information that I might give you, if your wives were at the class that my wife gave, I can't guarantee that there isn't a difference of opinion. So So if, I think there are certain areas that we do disagree on. I will teach a little differently. What could I tell you? There are different things she heard from somebody, something that I, you know, so that's the way she gave it over. Let's just go through the halachas as they are. Number one, the halacha is that during this period of time, one has to be generally very, very careful in the conduct that they have with their wives. What that basically means is that provocative interaction that would be very seductive, you understand, and to incite, was not permitted. One has to use a measure of discretion and caution, and not to say, you know, there's no Easter to say I love you. There's 365 days a year you can say I love you. You can even say you love on Yom Kippur. You can say you love her whenever you want. There's no Baal Tosif on that. You know, there's no Easter Baal Tosif to say it too many times. You know, the only problem is we say it a little bit less. There's never, does a wife ever come to me, I have never, in all the years of my Rabbanus, I'm going on 18 years, never once did a woman ever say, my husband says he loves me, and too much, I just can't take it anymore. You know what I mean? I think it's running 100-0. The amount of women that say, my husband doesn't say he loves me, he doesn't express it, he doesn't communicate with me, doesn't share his feelings, that I hear, you know, that I hear, and you're like, you know, like Pastor, you know, twice a week I hear. But as far as, you know, the other way around, dogs are sufficient, okay? So there should be, and maybe in a certain way, it has to be compensated for, because since there is no physical contact, it maybe has to be done in a more verbal fashion. But you can be verbally supportive without being seductive. That means also a woman in the manner in which she dresses during this period of time also, you understand, has to dress in a modest fashion. Has then each person on their own level has to choose, you know what I mean? You know what exactly they want to incorporate and what level they're on. But the general rule of thumb is it's a time of discretion and good judgment. Okay? Now, but the Chachamim added specific laws related to this. Let me tell you certain things that you may not have known. A husband is not allowed to drink, as we mentioned, right, from his wife's cup, right? A husband's not allowed to have the leftovers from his wife. Have you ever heard that before? A woman eats and she has leftovers, you can't eat. You can't eat from the drinks, you know, she drinks the thing, you can't eat from, you can't drink from that. Have you heard that before? But let me throw you a curveball. What would happen if she drinks and she had this wonderful glass of wine, you went to the Chinese restaurant, and then she had this beautiful glass of wine, you know, cost $11 for that glass of wine, and she takes one whiff of it or one zip of it, and she wets her head and she can't drink anymore. It goes to her head. Some women, it goes right to the head, right? Can't take anymore. What do you do then? What do you do with that $11 of wine that's there? What do you do? So the halacha is very specific. Take the wine and pour it into your glass. The only iser of drinking her wine is to drink it from her glass. You can take her wine, put it in your glass, and I'll tell you something else. You can then pour it back into her glass and drink it. You look a little funny, you know. But you're allowed to do that.
Is that lechatchila for
lechatchila, without question, no problems. Yeah, it is only specifically an objection of drinking from her glass. You know, these are such fine details. Forgetting about knowing the halacha, just to create the halacha. Because the whole expression of drinking from her glass or her food is something that is incites us. It's something that's chiba, that causes a connection, something that will create and stir within us a certain emotion that during this period of time is not appropriate. It's not encouraged. And so therefore, by pouring it out, the halacha is what? That you bypass that concern and issue. Who could make that up? Now what happens if she walks out of the room? she has to go to get the babysitter. But she has to make a telephone call outside the store. And you're there with the wine in front of you with her glass. Are you allowed to drink from her glass? Yes. If she's not there, you can drink from her glass. But if she comes in, I'll put it down. If she, that's it. The Chachamim define chibur, this connection, this emotional connection, in relationship to her presence and from her vessel. Yes, Rabbi.
Is it, you take her glass and pour it into yours, or can she pour it into yours?
She has to pour it with a shinui. If she does it in front of you, like any time she serves you, she would have to do it with a shinui, she would have to do it with her left hand. That's the way she would do it. There is an interesting halacha that if you go out to make the telephone call, that she can serve it with her normal right hand. She can serve your platter in front of you if you're not there, or in your place if you're not there. But if you're there, then already it goes into motion. But if you're not there, it's okay.
But you don't have to do it, you know, with yours to pick up
from her. Not that it comes to mind. You follow?
How about food and her
place? Same halacha with food. No difference.
You can take a piece of chicken.
You can take a piece of chicken that she leaves over and put it into your plate.
Well, she can do it.
You can do it yourself. You take, she can do it as she knows, you can do it yourself. The same halachas that apply to drinks apply to food. Or if she's not there. Now what happens if your wife, you understand, you take a drink and you're not aware that it's your wife's?
That's okay.
Do you have to tell her? No.
No.
Perfectly fine. What he doesn't know can't hurt him. What he doesn't know can't hurt. So she would be allowed then to permit him to take, you know, he thinks it's fresh stuff. He doesn't know it's leftovers. But you can serve it, you know what I mean? Tell you know, this just came out from the kitchen. You know, fresh stuff. I haven't touched anything, and then just takes it, he doesn't know anything. None the worse for it. Yes, run on.
Let's say, going back to the wife is serving, you know, company dinner, and the initial serving. She has to, if she's serving her husband in that case, she has to do it with the shinoi?
Yes.
For the initial serving.
Yes.
Would
that shinoi though different from how she's serving others, or different from how she serves her husband?
Serves just her husband.
So in other words, she could serve by the same way, but yet
she just either doesn't put it down in front of him, or she puts it in front of him and does it with his shinoi with her left hand.
She could also do it with left hand for everybody else at the table, too.
And why should she do that?
Well, some people see, you know, she won't see any difference.
There's no, no, that doesn't make any sense.
People shouldn't see that she's doing it.
Yeah, well, why should other people see that she's doing it with her husband after them?
So they'll think she's a lefty.
No.
And if she's a lefty, it makes no difference.
No, if she's a lefty, she has.
If you want, you can do it, but it's really, you know, what? Why, you know, first of all, it's very awkward when they come with the hot soup. You know, because you want to go ahead, and because of the sneers, this guy's going to be burned, you know what I mean? He's going to get a third degree burn, you know, because everybody, you know, is going to suffer because, you know, so you got to use Ranan, you know. It's called the fifth Shulchan Aruch. And most probably, you know, nobody's looking when the wife is serving, yeah, which hand she's serving with. And any guy that's looking, yeah, he's got all the problems. My right, Rav Gary?
The truth?
Yeah, I'm going to say the truth, yeah.
So if your wife has a piece of chicken on her plate and she says she's done with it, you can't take forget about manners, okay, but let's say you can't take the piece of chicken and eat it directly, you have to put it on your plate.
Put it on your plate first,
you can eat it.
Yes.
Take it with the opposite hand,
though,
right?
No,
you can just take it forward, but you have to put it on your plate, you just put
right.
It and bite right into it.
Right.
You take it in the middle.
What?
If she's there.
Yeah. Just
no, the man doesn't need a shinoi, the woman needs a
shinoi. Right. It's no different than the halacha of any liquid that's left over. Don't, you don't drink it from her glass. You can then pour it in your glass and then you can use it. Okay?
She has to be finished with this, right?
No.
You can't,
no.
You can give it back to her?
What?
In other words, then you would be, in other words, let's say she has a piece of chicken, you take it, and then you give it back to her.
Yeah, what do I care?
That's okay.
Yeah, that's fine. That's okay. Perfectly fine. It's, first of all, my duck, you can take your own piece. One second. My duck, you can take your own piece. If you have your own piece of chicken.
Right. You can give it to her.
Forget about giving it. She can eat it straight off your plate. She has a different halacha with the leftovers than you do. You have to transfer it to another plate. She doesn't have to transfer it to another. She can eat it directly. This is one of the circumstances where the laws of a husband and wife are different. There's a whole litany of them. Right? The husband and wife, we learned, right? The husband is not allowed to sit on his wife's bed or lie down on his wife's bed. Right? In her presence. But a woman is allowed to sit down on her husband's bed in his presence. But a husband cannot sit down on his wife's bed in her presence. Okay? Yes?
Within the home environment, if there's an incident with the wine, a glass of wine, like a glass of wine, to one that can't drink anymore, within the home environment, I think she goes up to the bedroom to check up on something or something like that. Can the men meditate for wine?
If he's a glutton, he's allowed to drink the whole wine. The whole wine, the glass, and everything.
Yeah. It's the dining room can be considered.
Not in her presence. Yeah, that's all. In her presence, he can take her food.
Does that say she
has to
be out of
the room? I mean, you know, we're just.
Turn around.
You know. I caught you. I caught you. You know, we can make a lot of big game out of this, you know? All right? Okay.
Yeah, she can take it right off his plate, eat right before
your friend up.
What?
She can take it right off his plate.
She doesn't have to take it off his plate. She can take it, yeah, and eat it from on the plate. No problem. Right in front of him. There are other places. I don't know about the Shalom Bayis. I am only talking about the halacha issue. You know what I mean? Well, these are halacha guidelines, you know, as far as the issue of, you know, deportment and Dear Abbey, you know, and etiquette and everything. Those are, of course, obviously, Derech Eretz, Nimusei Derech Eretz, which are also very important. Okay, yes, Aaron.
Ah, okay. Food on a plate, can we consider leftovers? Just put the plate into the refrigerator.
Right.
Now, if she's not there, and you come home and you open up the refrigerator, leftovers.
That's what. Yes, 100%.
But what happened, the next day, you come home, open up the food, and she's in the room.
It's okay.
So,
my feeling is it's no more her plate.
Yeah, and once she puts it away,
it's once she puts it already in a public place, it's no more her plate than my plate, than my kids' plate. Right, Chaim? And if you have, you know, an animal in the house, you know what I mean? Yeah, it's called Hayashra B'ein of Yaza, each person for themselves. So this becomes now a community plate. Would you say that's right, gentlemen? Right? I think that's true. Just because at one time, you know, this was. Otherwise, Aimlund of herself, you're always eating from her plate. Yeah. Yes.
Are we talking about a single person thing, like a candy bar, for instance?
No, a candy bar is a big problem. If you take a challi roll, one of those little challi rolls, that you shouldn't divide up two challi rolls to eat directly, you know, take her challi roll from her. And eat. See, a challi roll, I think, is different than every time. Challi roll is different. I think that maybe that which was made from the beginning intended to be only eaten by one person, maybe. I don't know. Challi roll they bring down that you shouldn't.
What about a can of Coke?
Can of Coke? You shouldn't do it.
Like she puts in the fridge.
Something that should be consumed by one person that was only meant and intended by one person.
Even if you pour it in like another glass. An ace with chicken's only meant for a person.
Yeah, but it comes from a whole chicken.
I don't understand the difference between
how could you do it?
Oh, it's important.
The only way I understand it is that there are certain things that maybe one thing is intended to be put on a plate. I don't know. But a candy bar is a candy bar. I mean, what are you going to do? I mean, there's no shinui there. There's no shinui, you know. Candy bar you don't put on the plate, so when you take it off her plate and you put it into a different plate, so that's the shinui. But the challi roll you don't put on any plate. A challi roll is a thing that's eaten by itself. It's not part of the thing. It's the only thing I can think of. All right? Okay.
Well, have
what?
Back to the Coke question.
Yes.
So she drinks some of the Coke and puts it back in the fridge. You can't drink it, right? Because it's only a single serving.
Or because she put it back, she just give it up on it.
Well, if she's not there, there's no shiva that you can do it, right? If she's not there, there's no shiva you can do it. So that's definitely, we can get around that. Okay?
Okay. About the bed.
Yeah, before we get to the bed, okay? All right. Let's just go over all the different things and then we'll, you know, discuss the shivas. Okay? All right, so we discussed basically the halachas of food, and definitely from one central food thing you shouldn't eat directly. You should have popcorn. Two people can't take popcorn from a center popcorn plate. All right? But if you're allowed to take it from a center plate and do what? Put it on your plate, and then you can eat it from your plate. That's all in it. What's the difference? If you take the popcorn and you take it from the center plate and you put it, pop it in your mouth, that's awful. Because you're doing it directly from the same plate that she herself also is using. But if you take that popcorn, take it out of the wine plate, put it first then into your plate, and then take it from that plate that is put.
There's a third person there. Then you can share it.
That's the part. What?
There's a third person there. Then you can share it.
No, it makes no difference.
Well, you have a right rhythm, you could.
I don't. That's a shy list. There's a third person there. Could you do it? I don't recall.
Yeah,
okay.
Time is right.
Okay. All right. Let's now review further. We went over the halachas of the bed. All right. A woman is allowed to sit down on the bed of her husband in his presence, but she is not allowed to lie down on a bed in his presence, okay? But she's allowed to lie down if what? He's not there. She could sit on the bed in his presence and lie down on the bed, right, when he is not present. However, if the wife is out of town, then the husband could both sit down on the bed and could lie down on the bed, okay? Yes.
Have we gotten away from food?
Well, you know, if you want, you could ask.
I was going to ask if you could review the Kiddush.
Kiddush. What do we do for Kiddush? We had discussed last, I think Reb Manny asked me the Kiddush, right, if I remember correctly. The Kiddush is one of two ways. Either Kiddush could be given to a third party first. In other words, there'll be guests by you, Reb Adam. So you'll make Kiddush, and then you'll go ahead and you'll have one of the singles that'll be by you, and then you'll go ahead and you'll be... You'll give it first to the single person, and he'll drink to take from it, and then give to your wife. So basically, he's taken from the glass, you know what I mean? So there's a hefsek, there's been an interruption. Or the problem is that you could do it in a way that you don't put the glass down in front of her. You put it in front of you, and she takes it. Now, this is only a problem with what, gentlemen? Wine. Why is this a problem with wine? Because if it's not wine, so the halacha is that she's always allowed to take directly from your cup. So you don't need any of that. If you were taking Coke, and you put Coke into a glass, right? And then you understand she would want to take some Coke. She can take your glass and she can drink the Coke. She doesn't even have to transfer it to another glass. But since we're talking about wine, wine has an extra measure of chiba. Wine is a very, very emotionally connecting drink. Wine is the special drink. It's a wine, you know, it's for lovers. And so therefore, that requires that the woman cannot take it from the husband, even though other drinks would be permitted. Yes?
You pass it through one of the child?
Yes, that would be fine.
Give it to the mommy, and that'd be all right?
Put it down with the child.
Could you give it? I don't know if you give it to the child to give it. I think it's usually that the person in between takes it. I don't know if they just pass it over. I don't know if you can just tell them to pass it over. I think they have to drink from it or take from it first. If they take from it, it'll be okay. I don't think it's just to pass over. You can say, can I please pass this down to my wife? I don't think that's going to work. That's just as bad as giving it to her.
Your wife,
and then.
In other words, you pour off into her cup.
I don't think you can do that. You can't pour the wine up in her cup.
Pour it in front of her.
You have to, right. You can't do that. You have to give it to somebody else who will take and then give it to your wife.
You should have a drink of it with
kids. What?
Kid,
takes a little bit to know. But you can't pass it down, so I can't tell you some pass it down, but I don't think. Yes?
And you put Coke down in front of the wife?
Yeah, you can give Coke to her straight.
You can put it down in front
of put down Coke straight. Because she can drink from you with the Coke.
Yeah, right.
Even if you had the glass, so you can surely send it to her directly. It's wine that's the problem.
And have a grape juice.
Grape juice was probably in stomach same halakha as wine.
Right.
What?
You can't hand it to your wife. You can't hand her the soda.
Right. You can put it down.
You can hand it. Oh, right, that's a different halacha. Yeah. You can put it in front of her.
But you can't hand it.
But you can't hand like anything else you can't hand to her.
Why did you put that? You
can't even hand the baby. And that's really something at times you want to really give that you can't do. Yes, right.
So here's the scenario. Make kiddush. Pour out the cups of wine. If you put it all on one plate, you can pass it around to some other person, your wife gets it eventually. That's no problem.
Right.
If you hand it towards her direction and it passes by a child who won't drink it,
that's a problem.
Did you put it down in front of her?
No.
Unless you put it, you know, not in her,
not in front of her,
not in front of her. You know what I mean? Or you leave it in front of you,
and somebody else picks
it, then she, and then he takes it, the boy, and then passes it to the mother. That's fine. You can even, you know, if there's no guest, you put it in front of you,
and she takes it.
That's fine. But you can't direct it. You understand, toward her.
How about this having said, well, one cup. Like you have cups one.
Yeah, then you have to again not send it down to her. Makes no difference. Okay? That's a special halacha in wine. We do okay with food? We have a clarity already? I think I'm ready to leave already. I'm ready to leave, Rabbi Adam. Okay? Okay? This is only chazara, right? This is only, yes. We'll talk about that when we get to it. Okay? Yes?
You're going to talk about Devorah.
What?
And you're going to talk about...
That what?
Okay. Here's the scenario. You got a jar of pickle. Wait a minute.
You're going to ruin me with this thing.
Okay?
I want you to know, Rabbi Friend doesn't go through this one.
I mean, jar of pickle. Okay? You open up the can. The wife takes her fork and put her fork to take out the pickle.
That's fine.
Fine.
No problem.
That doesn't make the jar. That doesn't mean I can't use it.
You can use that pickle. Now, if you're both taking pickles out of the same jar, then I think that you got to put it down on your plate first, most probably. If this is a central pickle jar, this may be like a central popcorn thing. So put it down on your plate first, and then it would be okay.
Because Lisa, my wife always asks my daughter to give her fork so that she can take from...
So I told you how to do it. Okay?
It's okay for her.
No problem.
It doesn't make the pickle up for me.
No. Okay? Okay. All right. Okay, let's go over some more halachas. Okay? One of the major halachas that are brought down is the halacha with regard to sitting on one surface that creates nidnud, it's called, creates motion. By which, for instance, if you have a couch and it has one cushion, share the same, you know, sofa, and there's only one cushion, the motion of the husband will then, you know, influence or affect and will make an impression with the woman or vice versa. That's a halacha, there is objection halacha. A surface that's unstable in the sense, you know, that is felt by both parties, one is not permitted to sit down under those circumstances. It is interesting to take note that on a firm surface, you can do it. But let's assume you wanted to go both on the same swing. But that's a firm surface in a sense. But the whole thing moves, you know what I mean, together. Then the halacha would be that that would be prohibited. In a car, it would be fine. You know, because usually a car, you know what I mean, they're sitting in different seats. Now, obviously, I need not tell you that if you're sitting in the same seat in the car, yeah, there are worse halachic shilas, you know what I mean, than just the movement of the motion, you know what I mean, of the cushion. You know, that's a different issue.
I mean, the older cars that had the bench seats in the front.
Well, if there is, so the question is, does it really have? Now, if in a bench seat in the front, it will in fact move from one to the other, and you sense the motion, then what you do is a third person should sit between the husband and wife. That would permit.
You could just sit in the back seat, though.
Yes. Yeah. The Hasidim, if you would have ever seen, the women never sit in the front seat. The women always sit in the back seat. Reb Yaakov Kamenetsky, and I mentioned it to Rashiv, and he says, would never sit when he was driving, when he ever somebody drove, and he didn't drive, and he was 92 when he was Nifter, he's been driving for the last 40 years, you know. When he was there, he would never sit in the back seat of a car. Never sat in the back seat. Why? Because he always had a sense that if you sit in the back seat and the guy's in the front, it's like a chauffeur. And he never wanted the guy to feel like a chauffeur. That the guy is a balagola. He's a wagon driver. So he would sit always, be medactic, would never, without exception, would never sit in the back seat. You tell me where, Adam, you learned that in college. Where do they teach that in college? You tell me. What course? They never heard of it at the university. Yeah.
How about going to kosher bike and you have this boot, nice, comfortable boot, cushion boot, in your wife?
Is there any movement? Is there action?
It's a soft cushion. It's like a soft.
That would be a problem.
One thing. Right. I mean, you sit down.
Right. It doesn't make a difference. This is one of the halachas that doesn't make a difference to my memory. It does not make a difference if it's the presence of others or not. Regarding eating on a table, not eating, you know what I mean? With chairs and on a table. That would take away the shiva, you know? If you have a kosher bite, you just sit on the table. But anyway, yeah. But what happens if you're sitting at a table by yourself? When I mean yourself at home, you're first married, you don't have an aura. Then the halacha is that you have to have a hecker, you have to have something on the table that recognizes that today, that this is a different period of time than ordinarily. And so therefore, if it's your custom to put not to put any flowers, you put flowers down. If you have to have some kind of a shinui, something to differentiate. If the flowers are usually at the end of the table, you put in the middle of the table, then it will also serve as a recognition, as a physical factor that brings to the consciousness that today, but if you have children around the table, don't worry. Children already are a buffer zone. I mean, they can kill any romantic. Any romantic notions are killed by the children.
What age does that start?
You have what?
What age does that
start? At any time. Must be the time, yeah. Must be when there's das, you know what I mean? I mean, wherever it is, you know, something that you wouldn't, you know, be prompted to do something, you know. Or if it's not usual to bring the children to the table, and now during this time you will bring it, then at any time, no matter how old they are, it's okay. Because that's a shinui, that's a hecker, that's a matter of recognition that this is a different time in the cycle. Okay? Yes?
Still have a few years before I need to worry about this, but when my daughter comes of age, will all of these same laws apply then?
No. What does that mean? That she for herself? No.
Well,
these are only laws. These are laws only incumbent upon a married couple. Yeah.
In other words, like in essence, really, the woman is almost free to do things with other. No, she can hand things to other men, for example.
Yes.
But she can't hand it to her husband.
Right. She can hand things to other men, right? But she cannot hand things to her husband, because by giving it to her husband, you know. It's an act of chiva, the chachamim define it. She can be miyached with her husband, even during the time that she's prohibited to her husband to have relations. She's allowed to be in a room with him alone. Obviously, otherwise marriages would be in gahak b'tzaris, you know what I mean? If half the month, you know what I mean, they had to be in a separate room. But with a strange man, she cannot be.
Never.
No matter when, she cannot be with anybody, with another man other than her husband. It's an interesting dichotomy here. To another man, you can hand, but you can't be in a room alone. To your husband, you can't hand, but you can be in the room alone.
Okay. How does your wife teach this class?
I don't know. I'll have to listen to the tape. I didn't listen to the tape. Okay. All right. Are there any other halachas that you want to know regarding this? Is a husband allowed to listen to his wife sing during this time? Mm. Halachas, no. This way, tshuva. No, I don't think so. I think basically accepted. Maybe, you know, if let's say it's with other people, you know, that itself is a shayla.
Another
problem.
You can't hear her say Shir Malos.
If she belts it out, you know what I mean? I mean, if she makes this, you know what I mean? Imagine, you have to know what singing is, you know what I mean? You know what I mean?
So, I mean, if they have the kids in the
lot. You know, I mean, there's no end to that, right? She'll talk to the children, you know, she'll play with the children, right? And she has a nursery rhyme with them. I mean, this is Pashut Shalom Bayis stuff, you know? Basically, you can't start off with this. And you want the children to be quiet, you know what I mean? Yes, for your sanity, for your sanity, it's a bigger mitzvah. Yes?
During the time when a woman's nida, let's say the baby's on the floor, she get one end at the baby, changing the diaper.
Right.
You're not allowed to, let's say, play with the baby's hand at the other end.
Play with the baby's what?
Yeah.
While she's changing,
you know, it's
both parents touch the baby at the same time.
Yeah, you know, we are Nohag. I don't know Hasidim what exactly where the source of the lady comes from, but we are Nohag when a chassan and kala, right? When my daughter got married, we walked down. I held my daughter's arm, and my wife held my one arm, and I put the other on. We walked down. You know, you always see it.
Why?
I remember once, if I'm not mistaken, I think that a boy in yeshiva became engaged to a girl, and I think the family was Hasidish, and they wanted that the mother shouldn't walk down with the boy, because they walk down, men walk father with the boy. His mother wanted to walk down with the girl. She said, my whole life, yeah. Yeah, I want with the boy. I want to walk down with the boy. You know, the truth is, you know, she shrekt us that maybe this is the last time, you know what I mean? They say, you know, you get married to the girl and she slaps you away, you know? I can't tell you, but my memory serves me that the Rashiva said, fight to the end on that one. To the end.
And don't walk down with your
child. Walk down with your child. Don't give in on that. I mean, they felt so strongly about them. It's just, it's an issue to make an issue on. You want to walk down with your child. That's all. So, you know, so we do walk down. So there's no objection. It doesn't work like electricity. It doesn't go through, you know, in a third. Okay?
But I think the question was, you might have known that for a second there was a difference between, like, a baby being a child and a grown person being a child, but you're saying there's really
a baby can move even from one to the other, you can give. If let's say you're holding the baby and the baby moves to the wife, it's okay, she can take it. But when the baby has no das, has no intelligence, it's like an item, it's an entity, it's like a ball, it's like a plate. So you're transferring over, that you can't do.
So a woman in need holding a two-year-old kid, and the two-year-old says, I want to go to daddy. I can grab.
And the baby sticks their hand out.
Yeah,
but if the baby is sleeping,
I can grab it out of her hand.
If the baby is able to move, you understand, go with the flow, as they say. But if the baby is sleeping, You can't do it. All right? But then again, you know what I mean? I want you to know. It happens beyond mold, you know what I mean? There are embarrassing moments, you know, you forget. You know what I mean? And because, you know, sometimes, you know, you do it. Sometimes it's permitted and sometimes it's not. And inevitably, you'll mess up. You'll make a mistake. You know, she'll hand the thing, that the bowl of soup, you know, to you inadvertently, you know. You know what I mean? Off some platter, you know what I mean? I don't think that this is what was next, that they had the baby to you. You know what I mean? You have to use your das, you know. I don't even know what happens if she'll be embarrassed. What happens if she'll hand the thing? And in the air, it's a banquet or a dinner or it's a Shabbat night meal and there are other people there, and she hands it, and you know, yeah, and it's not the right thing. What do you do? Do you take it? Or you just, you know... I mean, you could imagine what that looks like.
Thank you.
The halacha is, it's time you take it. Why? Because it's no different than a woman who extends her hand in front of other people, that you're allowed to respond, so she shouldn't be embarrassed. Kovet habriyos, the three people, you're one, two others, bingo. Allowed to shake her hand. If she extends her hand. Here you go. A woman.
I mean, the proper thing to do is put it on the table and the husband will put it
down. Yeah, that's it. All right, so this is just so, you know, it takes a while to integrate these halachas. You hear about them. You're Mezer Shem, you're a Chassan Denani. Right, Mezer Shem. You'll be mad, you know, it takes a little while to get into the routine, you know what I mean? But keep at it, you know, by the time you're married 40 years, you'll have it done. Solid, okay? All right, so we went through the Harchokis. Let's go through a little bit the calendar, okay? That you should just have a little bit of knowledge about when your wife tells you in the middle, you know what I mean, of the Yemei Tara, that tonight is not permissible, what that all means. Okay? Basically what that means is there's a ves kavua. A ves kavua means that a woman has a cycle that is fixed. A fixed cycle could be fixed, determined by any number of different variations and ways. A woman can have a ves kavua for the day of the month. That's called, right? A ves hachodesh means every 30th or every 21st day of the month she sees like clockwork. Interesting. The body knows and has a cycle, and it works. There are women that have a ves hachodesh. Means a ves means what? A ves means a cycle, hachodesh on the month. Now this is an interesting thing. The fifth of the month every month. Some months have 29 days, some months have 30 days, but she still has got on the fifth day. And it works. Now the ves hachodesh, you understand, will follow the day of the month. Then there's such a thing, you know, called the ves hafloga. What's a ves hafloga? A ves hafloga means, there is a certain interval period of time. Or she sees a fixed interval. She sees every 33 days. An interval of 33 days she always sees. Then the halacha is that if she establishes a vest haflaga, that every 33 days she sees, then what's the halacha? The halacha is that she, after three times seeing in 33 intervals. Now when you have a 33... You understand? Everybody know what I'm talking about? 33 means it's an interval always of 33 consecutively. This month 33, this month 33, this month 33. Okay? Then the halacha would be that what? The halacha is that she is also, but she needs to, that she would have to have four times. In order to establish three intervals, you have to have four times that you see. Right? Because the first interval has to be made up of two reads. However, when you talk about a ves hachodesh, a cycle that is identified by the day of the month that you see, that you only need how many times? That you have three times. So the first time you see on the fifth of the month, the second time you see on the fifth of the month, and the next time you see the fifth of the month. Then there's sometimes you understand that it is an escalating cycle. You see, you know, sometimes it goes up. I see every 33 days, and the next time, what did I see, Reb Sheldon?
34.
And then what did I see the next time? 35. And what did I see the next time? 36. Then what's the halacha? The next time, what do you got to keep?
37.
As well as 37.
Because that is also that the body is going on that cycle. However, you start up with what? 33. The next month, what do you see?
32.
What do you see the month after that?
31.
Does that create a vest? The answer is no. Why? Because it would be a vest into oblivion. Because it can't be setting a cycle downward. Because it can't be. Why? Just you got it, you know, 33, 34, 49, 53, 150, so you have 233. All right? But it's going. But the body is going.
So eventually that'll stop.
You know what I mean? So by the time she's 50 already, you know what I mean? You know, you'll work it out. It's not unusual that women sometimes don't get a period, you know, 6 months.
And they're not pregnant.
What?
And they're not pregnant.
I think they do become pregnant, but they become pregnant, no, I mean, but they see once in 6 months. They have very strange cycles, you know what I mean? So you talk about once every, you know.
Yeah. 1 month is 31, then 32, 33. But doesn't the next month you have to watch anything on the 31st day? Because that's when it appears.
No. But you have 31, 32, 33, and you've established the vest. If you saw it three times, that's it.
Finished.
Oh, so that's something else. Then it's nothing, right?
But you don't have to watch the day that length of time that it appeared the first month and the second month. If it came on the 30th day, then the second month, you don't have to be careful on that same 30th day that it came the month before.
Let's just have it. There's a vest kavua. That's 30, 31, 32, 33. That's called a vest. Bidiluk. What does diluk mean? It jumps a day every time. Right? So what do we got now? We got a vest hachodesh, and we have a vest what? Haflaga. If a woman does not have a cycle that is kavua, that is fixed, it has no say there, it has no order to it, then what's the halacha? There are three times that she has to be concerned about. Vest hachodesh, vest beinoni, and vest haflaga. What that basically means is that she, let's say she sees this month on, she saw Hey Iyar, right, the fifth day of the year, right? Then the halacha would be that the next month, right, she would calculate like this. First of all, she would be choshed for the Vest HaChodesh. What does Vest HaChodesh mean? Vahei Sivan. Now please remember the principle. The principle is when a woman does not have a period, we are always suspect that her body is striving to regulate itself and to establish a consistent cycle. Once you understand that, you know everything. You understand that? The fact that a woman, for the longest time, is irregular does not mean that this woman is a confirmed irregular. It means that she's always, in spite of her irregularity, is trying to achieve normalcy in terms, because that is the normal and it is that which the body seeks to achieve, which is what? Consistency. So if she sees, hey, ER, we don't say, well, this woman, you understand, based on her history, has no cycle and will have no cycle and is a confirmed non-cycle personality, but no. We say now there is a certain concern that she might be developing. This month, things are regulating. So, and what is that regulation? What will that be? Well, when I see a year, 3 days, three different calculations come to mind. Number one, Vest HaChodesh, means the day of the month is a regulator. So next month, what am I afraid of? Then also the thing is called Vest Beinoni. Vest Beinoni means the normal cycle that a woman established for herself, if it's not based on a calendar day, is a 30-day interval. Called Vest Beinoni, 30 days. 30 days, critical, the very best, most important one of the three. And the other one is best haplaga. What's best haplaga? You count and see how many days was it before a year that she saw it before then. The month before a year was what, gentlemen? Nisan. So let's say she saw a Nisan, Ches Nisan, the eighth day of Nisan. She counts the interval between the eighth day of Nisan and the fifth day of Iyar. She counts how many days there were in between, right? And then she uses that, those days in between, as a way to measure what will now be the possibility of her developing a Vest Haplaga. Means a what? A cycle based on what? On the days in between of seeing between one and the other. So she might see, let's assume that's, let's say, 26 or 27 days. That means maybe she's now going to see at 27 day interval. So it could be the 27 day interval. She could be seeing that day of the month, or she could be going to a wider vestibule, means what? A natural 30 day cycle. An interval naturally of 30 days. What is the halacha? The halacha is that the woman must make a bedikah, must check twice a day, once in the morning and once in the afternoon. On those days, those 3 days that it falls out on, sometimes they can overlap. Sometimes the best HaKodesh, the best of the day of the month, and the best what? Dainini can fall out on the same thing. They could be one and the same. Right? Best HaFlaga, best Dainini, and Best HaChodesh, possibly. The they usually don't. What?
If the bedikah is okay on those days, then there's no...
If the bedikah is good, yeah, if the check comes out good, then one can continue and have relations. Until she what? Until her period comes.
But if not, but...
If not, I think if you missed the one critical one, you don't want to miss the Vespaini. That's the 30 days. When the woman makes the calendar count, I don't want to go through all the cheshbonot. You count the day that she saw as the one, as day one. In other words, she saw in Hei Iyar. So when she counts it, she counts Hei Iyar as one. You understand? In other words, right?
So she has to
and she counts 30 days, she counts the day that she saw as one. It's also the last of the days of the interval. When she counts the days of the interval, from what? From Ches Nisan to Hei Iyar. She counts Ches Nisan as the last time she saw 1, 2, 3, and counts Heir as one of those days. So now the interval is how many? Let's say, and then when she starts counting 27 again, she again counts from Heir and counts 27 days.
She has to make a note when she saw whether it was before.
She has a calendar. Every woman has a calendar. Every woman has a calendar, and in this calendar she marks down that when her period comes, she sits down, a woman, and starts her projections. There are software now, if you want. There's computer software. Yes. Okay, graphics and books and computer software and charts and every aid that you need in order to do this. Let me just mention one other halacha related to this. The vest follows basically a time frame of day or night. It is not the day as a 24-hour period usually. But if she sees in the day, then really she counts what? The thing that should be prohibited, let's say she saw a Hei Iyar, then Vest HaChodesh should say what? She should be Asur when? On Hei Sivan. By day. She saw by day Hei Iyar, so she's Asur what? Hei Iyar by day. However, the Or Zoruah is an accepted opinion that everybody holds from. And it's a chumrah, it's a stringency that people should adopt, very much accepted in the world, that 12 hours before is also included in this. What are the 12 hours before? So if she sees by day, that means what? On Hei Iyar, the night before is also prohibited. It's Hei what? Hei Sivan at night. Night, right? Remember what's considered day or night. Day is from when? From sunrise to sunset is what? Is day. And night is from sunset to sunrise. That is the day. That's how you know what the day is. The Iker thing is, of course, the day that she saw, if it's light, then what? Then that day of the month, the light time, the daytime, is the Iker, is the fundamental period. And then what? 12 hours before then is the Chumrah, is the prohibition, is the extension of that, which, you know, should be observed. Now, please remember that the laws that you're not permitted to do with your wife during those periods that she is prohibited to you, Marshall, you can't eat out of this, can't eat from the same popcorn plate, you can't go ahead and all the halachas, drink the wine and this, those halachas do not apply even during the day that you expect for period. Okay? Right? It doesn't apply, it doesn't give it. The Hakam never prohibited it. The only thing that Hakam prohibited, even during that 12 hours that are essentially prohibited, what is the only thing they prohibited? Relation. However, yeah, there is a chumrah that you should know about. Yeah, that hugging and kissing during that 12-hour period, the essential 12-hour period, yeah, is better not to. But the period before the orzarua, that you don't have to be concerned about. Okay, do you follow what I just said? Do I have to repeat that? Yeah, the essential period is the 12-hour time that she originally saw. A month later, it's the 12 hours is the what? Is if she saw daytime, so it's daytime, right? Whether it be the Vest HaFloga, the interval time, the Vest HaKodesh, the day of the month, or it be what? The Vest Beinoni, the 30 days. The essential one is the time of the day that she saw this time, is what that time of the day you project the month coming around. We add on to it the Arzarua, which is 12 hours before. Chibuk Venisha, husking and kissing, is a chumrah. It's worthwhile, to, if possible, to incorporate it. You know, I mean, every relationship is different. Fusalach Zogin, you know what I mean? If you tell me your wife needs it, right, and she's needy during this time, or there's something, you know, that's very urgent and pressing in her life, you know, and something like that, then, you know, it's a chumrah, but you have a wife, you know what I mean? You have to have the flexibility. So what's a chumrah, and what's mita hadin, and what you, you know, because sometimes it's because I ask a shayla, you should go and ask a rabbi for shayla, what do you think it should be done? There's shaylas also regarding this, about going out of town. You know, if you're going out of town for a long time and it comes up, you know, what about the, you know, maybe 12 hours before, I don't think you have to worry about it at all. You know what I mean? Let's say it comes to see by day, the night before also is prohibited, you know what I mean, right? Let's say you're going out of town, right? So, you know, you're going on this trip, you know what I mean? You're going to Africa, you know what I mean? So what are you going to say? You know, a chumrah, you know, or zarua, you know, I don't think that's going to fly. All right? Okay. Okay. This tape better not go on. Anyway, it's kept in the shul. All right? You know, it sounds worse than it is. You see, when you're live on action, you know what I mean? At least, you see the rapport. It's like this on the tape. It's a chatnishkei panim. It literally has no face. Okay? Did you have a question, sir? Did you want to ask me? Right?
I was going to ask you if she's with child, if she comes to you, child. How does this come
into? I mean, if she has a period while she's pregnant?
No, what I'm saying is that, she's counting her days, and then the days don't come because it turns out that she's
pregnant.
Well, once you passed all the 3 days, that's it, no?
Well, the only way that this shayla is rare. It never happened, really, because basically the only way that they would have known that there is a child is only after 3 months. A woman misses a period, one period she misses, a second period she misses, and by the third period that she misses, she takes on certain physical symptoms and she shows, and you know she's pregnant, so the whole thing is mute. The only question would be today, you know, women that are anxious and they go down for their EPT test or whatever it is, right? It's been a while, right? And they take the test and they find out that they have a confirm, whether or not that would aggregate. I don't remember offhand whether or not that would say to her that she shouldn't have to count the period because she could assume with certainty that she's pregnant.
But Well, let's say it's confirmed that, that she is pregnant.
Usually it wouldn't, by the time it's confirmed, she didn't see the month before.
No, she's not Easter, there's no luck about her being Easter during that time.
There is no Easter during the time a woman is pregnant. I would say like this. See, even a test that you take is not a certainty that she's pregnant. There is a factor of it that there's a percentage not. So her period, whatever she is choshev, I would count the next month until I got it confirmed. You understand? One month until you got it confirmed. Then there's nothing afterwards. The next month you're not seeing. She's permitted until she sees again, right? So she makes a bedika, she projects, right? Comes, hey, ER. Right? Yeah, and she goes ahead and she goes right, and then she's in, and then she becomes, you know, then she takes a test the next day, you know, she says, you know, I got this intuition, I'm pregnant, she says. She goes, takes the test, you know, that's fine and well, but there's a risk factor that it's really not true. So I would say, till that first interval, right, that first month, right, that has completed itself from the last period, she should count.
It's only 1 month where you don't see anything
breaks
the whole
that there's nothing left. After that, remember, after she makes her bedikis, and she sees that she's what? On those days of interval, or the day of the month, or whatever, then she is permissible, you understand, to have relations with her husband infinitum. I mean, you know, within reason, but you know what I mean. On an ongoing basis, you know what I mean, without having to concern herself anymore. Are there any other ways? Those are the basic two halakhas I really wanted to cover today. The halakhas of what? Of the harchakis? To just give you a little bit of a thumbnail sensitivity, awareness about what are the calculations or concerns that the woman has to deal with regard to this matter. And of course, I must tell you that in conclusion, that of paramount importance is the sensitivity of a man. That a woman has three basic mitzvahs that are uniquely hers. One of them is challah, hadlakas haneros, lighting of the candles. And the other one is taras hamishpacha. It's her mitzvah. We are participants, we are structured as well by it, but it's her mitzvah, it's her renewal, and it is something that has kept the Klal Yisrael and has sanctified us for all these millennia. And in that sense, we must be very sensitive to clear our calendar. And when a woman goes to mikvah, that we have to make the necessary accommodations, that the time that she needs to prepare before she goes to mikvah, you come home from work early, or you ask her, is there anything I can do? Could I wash the children? You have to do that. It sets a tone. It communicates to her more than anything else, more than all the tchotchkes you can buy her, and by all the things that you could send, and all the roses you'll send her on Mother's Day, and all the other things that you could do, and birthday cards, it doesn't mean anything. I'm telling you that this is a critical, critical area, and it's a cause of great marital strife. I have to tell you, it is not unusual that I hear that women will come and they will complain and will speak about the fact that they feel there's a lack of appreciation and sensitivity. The fact that the woman has certain needs, and during this period of time, as she prepares, you know, to go to mikvah, it requires us to be sensitive to that need, to make accommodation, to make it as easy as possible. It's not easy for her either. It takes time before. Sometimes she comes from work. She has to make bedikas. There's an uncertainty. This whole process is fraught with uncertainty for her. She wants to make sure she does it correctly. She's very careful. And when she goes to mikvah, she wants it to be as a meaningful experience as possible. When she comes home from mikvah, then you have to treat her like a queen. You have to make yourself available to her. You can't be over the sun watching television. You know what I mean? Hello, honey. You know what I mean? Or you say you're doing some software stuff, you know, or hardware stuff. I don't know what you're doing. You hear what we're doing. Nevertheless, and if you're learning, you get home from your learning. And if you got that Fiomi, and she's coming home at 9 o'clock or 9:30, so you just make accommodation to meet her need. Very, very important. And this is, I think, a very, very, you know, critical thing. And it will stabilize and it will enrich the marriage very, very much. It will be a very, very important factor that will create a tremendous harmony and sense of shalom bayis. Very important. Please remember that these days are very special to a woman. We don't have the sensitivity. We aren't involved in the mitzvah. And so I think, you know, at whatever age we are, whether we're just starting out getting married, well, we're already down the pike already, you know what I mean? We're almost a Maryland house. It makes no difference. it makes no difference. Yeah, this is a very, very special time. If you have any questions about the halachas that I discussed, if there are things that I can provide any further clarity on one-on-one, please feel free to ask me. Or if your wives have any questions, please feel free to ask, you know, if your wife, speak to my wife. I'll speak to women also. I have no objection either. Okay? Thank you very much for your attendance. I hope that we served its purpose. And may it's Hashem, you know, maybe in a year or two, please remind me again. I could always, you know, do well to review the halakha again. Thank you.
Software.